flows of it, because elections are Tuesday. And the series has been liberty and virtue. Here in America, we have all kinds of liberties, but if they are not balanced by virtue, then any man does whatever he wants, because it's not unconstitutional. But if they have biblical values, they value every single human life, born and unborn, those of whatever color of skin, those of whatever religion, and they saw the value. And when they started the United States of America, that not only were men by God's design to have liberty, but they were to guard and guide those liberties by His virtues. And so our nation started out that way, and has in many cases grown in a way which more liberties were given based on the scriptures. And yet at the same time, especially in the recent decades, we've seen more and more laws having to come into place because man's virtue has gone by the wayside. This morning, I want you to see from Deuteronomy chapter 7 and Ezekiel 33 two things. One, that God wants godly leaders. And secondly, you are the vehicle in America to have godly leaders. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. We are at a point in history in Deuteronomy 17 where we have had God created everything, of course. Man fell. That is, he rebelled against God. So that while God had told them, you shall not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, they decided to do their own thing instead of obey God. And as a result, sin. We are sinners. We face the consequences of sin, which is sickness and disease. We see our own hearts desperately wicked. And we need Jesus Christ to forgive us of all of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so we can have a relationship with Him and go to heaven. He offers that through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've surrendered yourself to Him, you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, to cleanse you from all your sin. Your complete trust is what Jesus did for you. Guess what? You have that eternal life and that forgiveness, a new heart. But you still have that old nature in there. God created His people in such a way that for many years, they had no king. Man was there and there was a leadership, but there was no absolute king. The secular nations began to have kings, but Israel did not. They were a theocracy. God was the king. And those that were leaders were the priests. And the priests were not going about saying, you need to pay all these taxes. No, they didn't do that. God set up that the provision for the temple was to be given by the people through the sacrifices and the gifts and the offerings. But you did not have the priest coming and deciding, okay, then we're going to have a war over these people. They were leaders. And the way they led is by taking God's word and showing it and sharing it with the people. And the people took it and learned it and ought to have followed it. And when they did it, then the community, because of that sin, were to take care of that sin in the way that was appropriate. We have then this nation, Israel. They were in Egypt because of the famine. They ended up in Egypt, and then they were made slaves there. They were there for 400 years. Finally, God said, I've heard the cry of my people. I will let them go. And so he sends Moses in, and then all the Israelites came out, even some of the Egyptians who then feared God because of what he did. And they wandered in the desert, and God gave them the Ten Commandments. Altogether, 613, but known even within the scripture, summarized in the Ten Commandments. Well, they went from the Mount Sinai up into the land that God had promised them, because the wickedness of Canaan was such that he was going to execute his judgment. Israel was going to be those who would execute that judgment, and they were to take over that land. And they sent spies into the land to see what it was like. And they came back and said, it's a great land. The people's big. We can't take them. So do you know what happened after that? Well, there's two people that said, we can take them because God's on our side. But the other one said, no, we can't do it. So they said, well, what should we do? They took a vote. And they decided there's no way we're going to go in there. So they did not go in there. Instead, God said, fine, because you don't have the faith, this generation is going to die. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. As they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that generation died off. Finally, they go and get ready to go into the land again. The people now trusting God to lead them. And before they go in, the book of Deuteronomy, means second law, was written. Moses reiterates to this new generation what God says is good and right and what is wrong is to be punished. They did not have a king. In fact, they wouldn't have one for a lot of years later. 400 years. But I find something interesting that God knows their heart. Read here in Deuteronomy 17, starting verse 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God has given you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. Stop there. I want you to show you something. God wants godly leaders. He says here, the one I choose. We see in the Bible some characteristics. We see that God chooses his people. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, Moses has all these people, a million plus, about a million and a half to 2 million people. Some will even say up to 3 million. We know it's 600 fighting men. So you figure their wives and children also. He had all these people. And the people were coming to them with their problems. And his father-in-law said, you need some help. You need to appoint other people. So Moses did, 70 other judges that would help him when people would do things and say, look, this person done that or this person has done that. And they would use God's law in determining what was right. In Exodus 20, verse 21, Jethro says to Moses, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, to get organized and take care of the problems. Notice there he says, such men that were able and that feared God, hating covetousness, hating, they wouldn't take bribes, and then there would be leaders. God wants godly leaders. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, we find that what is said to Saul because he has disobeyed God again. Finally, God's had it up to here. And it is said to Saul, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. See that? That's David. God had chose David because he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to honor God. God wants godly leaders. And God has requirements for those leaders. We go on down there verse 15, about the middle. God chooses one from among your brethren that you shall set as a king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. In America, we would not go and elect somebody who is Chinese, you know, the Chinese president or somebody else there. We wouldn't elect them as our president. We're president of their nation. Here, the command is directly to Israel. Why? Why is this supposed to be? Because God doesn't want foreign gods brought into them and them to be drawn away, which they were. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he be greatly multiplied silver and gold for himself. As also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law of the book from the one before the priest of the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. That last verse, verse 19, there is key. The king was to learn God's word, to live God's word. We ought to do that too. We need godly leaders. God wants godly leaders. And you see in here, in verse 15, that he wants his choice to be in there. Why did he choose David? Because it was a man who wanted to honor God. He restricted them from churning from God. He said there's restrictions. Don't put yourself wives. Don't get a bunch of wives, foreign wives. Why? Because we saw what happened in history after this, that they led God's people astray. We not only see this, but when they received all the money they wanted, who do they worship? Not necessarily foreign idols, but then themselves and money. That's why he put restrictions on them this way. He tells them in verse 18 to write a copy of the Old Testament law. Let me tell you something. When you are reading through the Old Testament law, the really boring stuff about how you're supposed to live, do you ever pay attention? Do you ever pay attention to how they relate to us today? Not that we're under the Old Testament law, but you have laws like that a man is supposed to put a rail around on his roof. They had flat roofs then. And what's the principle there? Not that we go around and put railings on our roofs. The principle is you have a responsibility to keep for the safety of other people. You do what you can to keep them safe. You'd put up pylons, you know, around your house or crime tape. Well, maybe not crime tape. You do things so that way you can warn people, beware of dog. You put that up. Why? Because it is one by law now, or for the fear of being sued. But there's just a virtue of taking personal responsibility to do what you can to keep other people reasonably safe. Where'd you get that? The Old Testament law. That's why they were to do that. They're to write a copy so that way they could remember it. Then after they wrote it out for themselves, they were to read it every day. Every day. Why every day? You think after so many days you'd have them all memorized, right? But what happens when you even have them memorized? You forget them. Ask me, I'll tell you. Learned some verses 2 years ago in Awana that they're starting to get a little fuzzy. I have to go back and remember them again. We'll forget. And to daily read as long as he lived, so to keep it with him, I missed that one, to keep it with him, the reason to keep it with him, that way it's always there. He can always refer to it. And to read it daily. Verse 19 again, that he might learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, may not be proud in fact that he's president. If we're going to apply it to today, well, see, I'm the president and I'm number one. As might be humble, that he might not turn aside from the commandments to the left or to the right. Oh, what's that God says? Oh, I don't care about that. I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. That he might prolong his days and his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God had a promise of blessing upon his people if they followed God. He always blessed the nation of Israel when their king was a godly king and led them godly. You have to understand in all of this that God is sovereign in leaders. God's sovereignty puts men and women in leadership of positions. God's sovereignty allows men and women in leadership positions. We can't say that all of our leaders, the president, the vice president, the congressmen, the state governors, the state officials, the mayors, and all that, we can't say through a lot of American history they've all been godly. Does that mean God didn't care? No, God sovereignly allows those people into position. He's got a perfect plan for them. His perfect plan is sometimes understood and sometimes it's not. But he does have a perfect plan in it. To Pharaoh, he says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh was not a nice guy. This is the kind of guy that he killed all the kids, all the babies, Hebrew boys that were born. They were to be killed. Why were they to be killed? Because he didn't like the Jewish people. He said, they're getting too numerous, they're going to take us over. God let this kind of guy get in charge? Yes, he did. And even says so. He says it is for this reason, so that Egypt might know who God is, so that Israel would be reminded who God is, that Pharaoh himself would know who the one true God is. For this reason, I raised you up. That's what God says. So even when wicked men, ungodly men, are in positions of leadership, understand, God's sovereignty is still in control. We see our responsibility here in America, man's responsibility to the leaders. There's positive commands, statements. Listen, in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11, it says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. And the inference there is the upright leaders. He says a city, or in our case a nation, is exalted when there's godly leadership. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Isn't that true? Don't you rejoice when the president makes a good decision? We all do. Everybody does. doesn't matter what, if you're Republican or Democrat or Tea Party or Libertarian or whatever it is out there, everybody rejoices when the leadership makes good decisions. It was great that President Obama was right on top of when the hurricane hit and did all that devastation. He had things ready to go. Praise the Lord for that. Negatively, though, that same verse, Proverbs 11:11 says, but it is, that is, the city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. In Proverbs 16:12, it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. Proverbs 28:15-16, like a roaring lion and a charging bear. Now, just picture yourself out here in Nebraska where we got lions and bears, right? You're standing out here and getting ready to go in your car, and all of a sudden, remember, we did have a mountain lion a few years ago. Remember that? Okay, y'all be nervous now you go out here. There's a mountain lion in the tree, and there's a bear coming from 60th Street running this way. Okay, are y'all scared now? Like a roaring lion and charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. Know the fear that you just felt or imagine? That's what it's like. And knowing that you're just, there's no hope for you. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. Proverbs 29:2. When the wicked man rules, the people groan. When the president of the United States, whether this one or any of the past, have made bad decisions, haven't you heard the news and just groaned yourself? Yeah, it's not fun. The truth is, they're all human, aren't they? They're going to make good decisions and they're going to make bad decisions. Well, God wants godly leaders. That's what He wants chosen, is godly leaders. And not only does He want godly leaders chosen, but in America, you are the vehicle to America to have godly leaders. Let me put qualifiers on this, okay? There is no perfect man. I know you thought you were right up there. Nobody's perfect. I can't imagine any time in all of history, in past or history to come, that you were to sit down and talk with a candidate and all 100% across the board completely agree. And then even if you do, guess what? Your wife's not going to. That's what's going to happen. Nobody is perfect. But there are people that are concerned about following God's virtues, and some people who completely ignore and even despise God's word. When the wicked rule, those people who take God's word, look at it and say, I don't care what it says, this is what's popular, this is what will get me reelected, this is what I want to do. I don't like doing that stuff, godly stuff. We've seen some of those people, and they bring great harm to America. There's others, though, they take and embrace. Maybe they do not believe Jesus Christ is their Savior. They should, if they have any respect for God's Word, to obey His command to recognize their own sinfulness, helplessness before God, and surrender themselves to Him, to put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But even if they don't, to have a fear of God to the degree that they can respect what He says, those men, I'd rather have in office than the man who says, that's God's word, so what? Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, listen to the illustration, verse 1. Again the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel says, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people. Say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their own territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the watchman, sees the sword, the invading army, coming in upon the land, if he blows his trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning. If the sword comes and takes him away, that is, the ones that listen, that heard but did not listen, his blood will be on his own head. Those people that wouldn't take shelter, those people who wouldn't fight, their death is on their own head. Illustration continues. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But, in verse 6, if the watchman sees the approaching army, the sword coming, and does not blow the trumpet, the people are not warned. And the sword comes and takes any people away from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. The watchman, when he's captured, is taken because of his own sin. But his blood will require at the watchman's hand. Not only the watchman, but everyone else that's taken. Who's responsible for the city's death? The watchman. He didn't alert them. That's the illustration. Now, you know, God gives the application directly to Ezekiel. Verse 7. So you, son of man, I made a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from their way that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn away from his way, and he does not turn away from the way, he shall die in his own sin. But you have delivered your own soul. There he says that Ezekiel, you're that watchman. Because you're that watchman, when I give you the word, you warn them people. If you fail, when they are taken captive, their blood is on your hands. You just, well, pull the trigger yourself. It'd been the sword, but I don't know how you pull a trigger on a sword. You're the guilty one. But if you warn them, you put the tennis ball back in their court. It's up to them what they're going to do with it. Look at verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no... This is a good one to underline if you do that in your Bible. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Do you know that? Does not please God to bring his judgment upon the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Now the most clear application we can make from this text is the fact that every one of us that has placed Jesus Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, every one of us as we come Sunday after Sunday, learn God's Word, and the warning to those who do not put their faith in Jesus, what does it say here? You're the watchman. Where's your trumpet? Are you sounding off the trumpet? Warning, you will stand before God and he will hold you accountable. You have no hope. You will die and spend all of eternity in judgment in the flames of hell. Good luck. Or you can see that God graciously gave his
gift of Jesus Christ on your behalf. So if you would humbly come before Him, cry out seeking His forgiveness, place your trust in the fact that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes, puts their trust in Him, will not be eternally condemned, but have everlasting life. There's a clear picture there. Let me apply it to these elections on Tuesday. These elections on Tuesday, I want you to understand, you are the vehicle to America to have godly leaders. If you say, I wish we would have a godly leader, and don't show up Tuesday to vote, or if you, maybe you've voted already, that's okay then. But you don't either stand against what is wrong or stand for what is right, let me tell you what will happen. I mentioned last week, here in Omaha, an ordinance passed. The ordinance placed in discrimination against those of sexual orientation and those of gender identity. So homosexuals and transgenders. If we do not do what the goal is, that is to get enough signatures so that these are taken by the city council off the books, this is what happens. Happened Evergreen State College. A 45-year-old male student who dresses as a woman, goes by the name Colleen Francis, uses the women's locker room. Why? Because he's a transvestite. He was confronted with exposing himself, but when he was confronted, guess what they got? Instead of confrontation, instead of jail time for exposing himself to people as young as 6 who use the college facilities, he would sit there, all his glory and splendor, for the women, the young girls. He got, instead of even a recommendation, even jail time, an apology. He got an apology because he declared himself as a transvestite and dressed as a woman. They cannot say anything against him because that'd be hate speech. They cannot prosecute him because that would be discriminating against somebody who has a confused gender identity. God calls it sin. Your leaders in Omaha decided it's okay to put this sin on the books so that way. This hasn't happened in Omaha, but there's no reason now that it can't. You don't believe me? I bet you if you get a hold of Evergreen and the town there, find out how it all progressed that far. You'll see where it started. That's where Omaha is at. You choose those leaders. If you are not voting, I understand if you missed the deadline to register to vote, you'll register first thing in the morning, so that way next time around in April you can vote. But if you're here to say it's not going to matter, 15 million Americans didn't vote. They're registered to vote, but they didn't vote the last presidential election. 15 million. Here in Omaha, everyone who registered to vote voted, the difference between the presidential election in as far as Douglas County was concerned, the difference in votes was 10,000 votes. Almost 90,000 people didn't vote. But it made a difference. You are the one that can strive to get America back to fearing God.
you need to do some homework. Tuesday is a big day. You need to look at not only the president, but you need to look at the congressmen, representatives. You need to look at the state, the legislature there. You need to look at the school districts, the voting there, and the college. You need to look at the judges. Why? You have a responsibility. You are putting your name and marking for men and women who are not going to be perfect. Some maybe not even close to God's word. But perhaps your vote is better than for the one that is absolutely hates God's word. Ask, pray and ask God for wisdom. Pray. We need America in which we have the full rights and privileges that our forefathers said we should have. The freedom to speak the truth of God's word. The freedom to live without being fearful of the state. It's an important election. Every election is important. You don't know if what happens this election destroys America at any election. Father, I pray that you would help us recognize the importance of choosing men and women that are going to be godly. Father, in some races, there's a very difficult choice. Give us wisdom. In some races, it's clear. I pray that you would help us as we look at the values that you hold and apply them to our own life, the values of life, of marriage, the values of the freedoms that we have of our religion, not just inside the church, but as we live it out in our businesses, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Father, I ask that you would help us that we might make good decisions for you, that we might see godly leaders in charge. Father, I ask that you would help us, for in various ways in our homes or at our places of employment or in our community, we too are leaders. And Lord, I ask, help us that we might fear you as we ought. Lord, I ask this for your glory in Jesus' name.